1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're continuing our study of this book, and we're getting closer to finishing this book, but it's going to be a little while yet. Death is Destroyed is the title of the message today. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 21. Can we put a little in the monitor? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 21. Would you stand with me as we read from the Word of God? Verse 21 says, "For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But each one in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward those who are Christ at his coming. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom of God the Father, delivers the kingdom to God the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death. For he has put all things under his feet, but when he says all things are put under him, it is evident that he who put all things under him is accepted. Now when all things are made subject to him, then the Son himself will also be subject to him who put all things under him, that God may be all in all." Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, I pray that you would open the eyes of our understanding. I pray that you would speak to us today, Lord, the truth of your word. I pray today, Lord, that you would pour out your Spirit upon us, give us understanding. Draw us all to you. Give us responsive hearts to respond as you lead. And be glorified, Lord, through this study today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Well, we're on the subject of death again. I hope you understand. I'm not preaching this as to be morbid or a downer. That's not the idea. As a matter of fact, the idea of that Paul's trying to get across is just a basic understanding of what death is. I remember my first realization of death as a child. I was watching a TV show. Those of you who are younger won't remember this, but you remember Marcus Welby? It was a doctor hospital show back in the day. And I don't really remember the whole program. I just remember they were trying to figure out what problem this guy had. And ultimately, they diagnosed him with a problem that was going to kill him. And it made such an impression on me. I don't remember how old I was. I was not very old at all. But it made such an impression upon me that after the show was over, I went and sat in my mama's lap and said, "Mom, I don't want to die." And it was because I didn't understand. People today are afraid of death. And it's because they don't understand. Especially if you're a believer, there's nothing to fear. And so today, that's what we're going to address. We're going to address what death really is. Okay? And we're going to start with, where did death come from? The origin of death. I want you to understand, first of all, that you were not created to die. Man was not created to die. When God created man, it was not so that he had lived so many years and die away. But death came because of sin. Sin contaminated God's creation. So let's just talk and ask the question, who's responsible? Who messed it up? Well, of course, you and I know, as verse 21, Paul writes, "Since by man came death," the man that Paul is referring to is, of course, Adam. And he's referring to Adam's disobedience in the Garden of Eden, where Adam was instructed, "Do not eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil." And Adam violated that command. And so it was by him that sin and death entered into the world. Now, if you're a Bible scholar, as most of you in here are, you're going to ask the question, "Wait a minute, Brother Doug, what about Eve? She ate first." Well, you're right. She ate first. But why was it not through Eve that sin was passed on to all men? Well, first of all, it was because Eve was deceived. Satan deceived her. The conversation that she had with the serpent was all about deception. Adam, on the other hand, he made a conscious and deliberate decision to disobey God's command. And God had personally told Adam himself, in Genesis chapter 2, verse 16, God told Adam, do not eat of this tree. And it was even before Eve was created. Now, Eve knew. Adam had passed that on to her. She knew. But I want you to understand, that was a direct communication from God to Adam. And that was one of the reasons it says sin and death is passed through Adam. Second reason is because Eve was created as a helpmate. Helpmate, as the Bible puts it, means just exactly what it says. It was to make Adam complete. She was to be his helper. But Adam, from the very beginning, was supposed to be the leader in that family. It was his job to guide and protect. And the third reason is, Adam knew full well what he was doing when he violated God's command, but he chose to do it anyway. Now, I've heard a lot of preachers try to justify what Adam did. Well, he just did that because he loved Eve so much, and he knew she was going to be in trouble, and he didn't want to lose Eve. I don't know about all that. What I do know is Adam knew exactly what he was doing, and he chose to deliberately disobey God. And it's really interesting in Genesis chapter 3, verses 6 and 7, it says, so when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and the tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. And then the eyes of both of them were opened. Have you ever noticed that? Eve ate. The curse didn't come yet until she gave it to her husband Adam, and he ate, and then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves covering. My point being this, Adam knew exactly what he was doing. It was his responsibility. He could have stopped it at any point, and he did not. He chose to violate God's direct command, do not do this. That's what sin is. It's disobedience. And it was at that point, when Adam ate, that sin and death began. All before at that point, they were just in the garden enjoying God's company every day. They didn't worry about aches and pains. They didn't worry about one day they were going to die. They were just enjoying life on an eternal scale. But after that day, sin and death began. And the wages of sin, of course, Romans 6:23, is death. And so death began to reign, which brings us to the next point, the reign of death. Not only did it start, it has reigned and ever since and been a major control factor in the lives of every human being. Genesis chapter 2:17 says, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day you eat of it, you will what? Die. See, sin's bad enough, but sin, the wages of sin being death, when they deliberately disobeyed God, they began to die. Now, there are two types of death. First death, of course, is a physical death. And we know when Adam ate of that forbidden fruit, he began to die. He didn't drop dead at that point. He began to die a physical death. Genesis chapter 5, verse 5 says, Adam lived 930 years. And then he died. But it wasn't just Adam that was affected. His sons were affected. His son Seth lived 912 years and he died. Then you go on and read, Methuselah lived 969 years. He died. Lamech lived 777 years, and he died. Because of that sin, death began. And death was passed on to every human being. You said, Brother Doug, that's not fair. That's a famous phrase today. That's not fair. Adam did it. I'm paying for Adam's sin. No, you're not. You see, death is passed on to all men because Romans 5:12 says, therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all have sinned. You see, you're going to die. I'm going to die. And I'm not going to die, and you're not going to die because Adam sinned. He just started it. You're going to die, and I'm going to die because we sinned. There have been times in my life that I have willfully and deliberately, fully knowing what I was doing, disobeyed God's command. Have you ever done that? Yeah, we have. Come on, we have, right? We've all been there. And because we've done that, we're too going to die. You've lied. You stole. You've put other gods before God. There's been times you haven't loved the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. There's been times you haven't loved your neighbor as yourself. You see, we have a sin problem. And this sin problem has put us in the position to physically die. But that's not the big problem. The big problem is spiritual death, the second type of death. You see, spiritual death is something else that occurred in the Garden of Eden after they sinned. And what spiritual death is it's a separation from God. Now, before their sin, they in the garden daily would walk with God. And can you imagine they could hear God coming and Adam would tell Eve, Eve, God's coming. God's coming. Get ready. Oh boy, we're going to have fellowship. We're going to talk to God. We're going to hear from God. But things drastically changed when that sin of disobedience happened in Genesis chapter 3, verse 8. It says, and they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife, what? Hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees. See, that's what sin does. For the first time, they were separated from God. And the thought of God coming, they heard God coming. And the first thought was, we got to hide. Why? Because we're sinners. And we can't be in the presence of a holy God. You ever wonder why people are so uncomfortable in church? You ever wonder why you've invited time and time again, you've invited people, come to church with me, come to church with me, come to church with me, and they never show up? I'll tell you why, because they're not comfortable here. And the reason that they're not comfortable is because we're told in Matthew 18:20, where two or three are gathered together in my name, I'm in their midst. There I am. So you understand, when you come together like this, you're not just coming together to enjoy one another's company. We are coming into the presence of Jesus Christ. Now you know why people are uncomfortable when they come to church. You see, if you're a sinner and you're living in that sin and you're deliberately disobeying God and you've never done anything to take care of that sin problem, every time you're exposed to God, your first thought is, hide, get out. Because that's God. Just like Adam and Eve, people today hide from God because sin has separated them. You want to know why in the United States of America we have become so angry at God? And so there's such a desire to have God removed from public view. And Now, in the interest of political correctness, you'll be told, keep your religion to yourself. The reason you're told that is because the world can't be comfortable hearing about God. Because of sin. Deliberate, intentional sin. You see, the really sad part is not just that you're a sinner. The really sad part is when you don't do anything to take care of that problem. That's where it gets terrible. When you allow that sin to create a separation from God that follows you into all of eternity. And if you do not take care of that, it will. I'm reminded in Luke chapter 16, verse 23, the story of the rich man and Lazarus. That story of rich man and the Lazarus, when the rich man was on the earth, he had no time for the spiritual. He did nothing to take care of the sin. And so what happened? And he being in torment in Hades, in hell, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham far off and Lazarus in his bosom. Then he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Now you can just imagine him trying to get this out, and all he's asking for is for someone to dip the tip of their finger in water and touch his tongue. That is one miserable person. And why is he there? Because he had a sin problem that he never took care of. That's the sad part. Yes, Adam started it. And yes, we've been a continuation of that sin problem. Because sin has been passed down to us. And because of that sin, we're going to die a physical death. But not only a physical death, there is coming a point of spiritual death if that is not taken care of. But here's the good news. There is a remedy. There is a remedy for death. See, in our text it said, by man came also the resurrection of the dead, whereby... Verse 21, it said, for since by man death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. Put it in our language, since the problem of sin and death began with a man, the solution to sin and death has to come from a man. That's what that means. Okay? Since man started it, man's got to finish it. The bad news is, verse 22, as in Adam, all die. The good news is, even so in Christ, all shall be made alive. There is a remedy. Listen, if you had cancer, if you heard the diagnosis from the doctor, he said, you've got cancer, you've got 6 months to live. But I've got a pill. All you've got to do is take this pill. And your cancer will be cured. And you say, I don't care what it costs. I'll spend everything that I have. Give me the pill. Right? That's what any normal person would do. Any abnormal person would say, no thanks, I don't want your pill. I want to experience the pain of cancer. I want to watch myself just waste away. I want to experience the torment of chemotherapy and everything that goes along with it. I don't want your pill. I want the death. You'd say, what kind of dummy would say that, right? In Christ, all shall be made alive. There's your antidote. Sin's the problem. Death is the result. Jesus is the answer. You see, when it says, in Christ all shall live, I want you to understand, it doesn't mean because Christ died, every person everywhere is going to heaven. That's not what that means. It means that every person everywhere that is in Christ will go to heaven. Right? That's what this verse 22, "For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive." But each one in his own order. Christ the first fruits, and afterwards those who are Christ at His coming. We know that Christ died so that you could have forgiveness of sin. So that I could have forgiveness of sin. And sometimes we think of forgiveness of sin as just dismissing sin. That's not what forgiveness is. Forgiveness means it's been paid for. Right? You see, somebody's got to pay that debt. You and I can go somewhere and eat lunch and you can say, "Brother Doug, let me get the check," and I can say, "Okay," and you can pay for that lunch. And I can walk out and say, "That lunch was free." No, it wasn't. You paid for it. When we say salvation was free, it wasn't free. The gift is free. Salvation cost Jesus everything. He paid for it. John 19:30. Verse of Scripture that sticks with me and I still love to this day. Jesus is on that cross. And He's on that cross so that you and I can have forgiveness, so that you and I can have victory over death. And He suffered the torment. He's been beaten. He's been spat upon. He's been ridiculed and mocked. And He said, "I thirst." And they gave Him wine. Soured wine. Vinegar. As an antiseptic. Says, so when Jesus received the sour wine, He said, "It is finished." Most beautiful words. Tetelestai. Literally, it means paid in full. Now, let me tell you something. I've been a pretty ugly guy. I go back from the time of my childhood and I start counting sin. I've been a pretty ugly guy. I've done some things that I'm not proud of that I'm not going to share with you here today. But you know what? Those really big sins that I committed, Jesus paid in full. But not only do I have really big sins, I have little sins. Little white lies I've told on occasion. Little things I've done. You know, you say, "Well, that's not a big deal." It's sin. It's got to be paid for. And Jesus didn't pay for only my big stuff. He paid for the little stuff. And not only did He pay for my big stuff and my little stuff, He paid for all your stuff. Now you imagine if we could load everyone's sin that is here today into a truck. It would take a pretty big truck to haul our sin. Amen? But we're a drop in the bucket compared to the whole human population. You take all the world, population of the world today, I forgot. Does anybody know what the population of the world is? 2 billion, 2 point something, 3 billion, 8 billion? Woo! Can you imagine how much sin is in the world today? Jesus bore it all. And when He said, "Paid in full," it was free.
for everybody. Every human being that's ever been born, every human being that will ever be born, that sin was paid in full. To give you the chance that Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. He did all that. He paid for it all just so you could say, Jesus, I want to make you my Lord. And I do make you my Lord today. You see, that's what salvation is about. And you're here today and you can take care of that sin problem just by simply calling upon the name of the Lord, making Him the Lord of your life. Understand this though, it's not about walking down an aisle. It's not about some religious ceremony. It is about you giving yourself to Jesus because He gave Himself for you. Jesus is the antidote. Oh, but it gets better. There's so much in this chapter. I keep thinking, I'm going to finish. I don't know when we're going to finish. We'll just finish when we get done, okay? But I want to skip a little bit at this point. And I want you to understand what it means that Jesus paid for your sin. And we're going to come back here. But for right now, I want you to look at the same chapter, verse 51. Paul says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. You see, when you call upon Jesus and you give yourself to Jesus, you make Him your Lord, that means He owns you. Then you don't have to fear death anymore. Because it's been taken care of. You see, Jesus experienced that spiritual death for you. He experienced the separation when He was on the cross of Calvary and He cried out, my God, why have You forsaken me? He experienced what you deserved. What I deserved. And He took it all upon Himself. So that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. And let me tell you something. We talk about how bad everything is and the direction, how the world is just going to hell in a handbasket. For a believer, the future is bright. Okay? You see, I don't have to worry about the things I disagree with that's going on in our culture. I don't have to worry about that. I can let God deal with that because I know that one of these days, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, I'll be changed and I'll experience being in the presence of my Jesus. We're going to go meet Him in the air. That's what the Bible says. And not only that, but there's so much here. But in the very end, when it's all said and done, you know what? Jesus is going to rule and reign. There's going to be a 7-year tribulation period. We're going to run you through a big period of history real quick. It's going to be the rapture. It's going to be a 7-year tribulation period. Then we're at the end of that tribulation period. We're going to come back and we're going to rule with Jesus. And Jesus, for 1,000 years, is going to rule this earth. And Satan's going to be released for a little season. Then the ultimate is going to happen, the very end. Jesus is going to take it all. and Satan's going to be cast into the lake of fire, and then we're going to enter the eternal stage, the new heaven and the new earth. And beloved, let's go back. He will put all things under His feet. You understand, in heaven, when we come down to the end, there's not going to be a Congress. There's not going to be any lobbying group. There won't be any demonstrations. There's just going to be the righteous rule of Jesus Christ. That sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Because, and the reason it sounds so good is because I'm going to be a part of that. Paul does this. Paul gives us this because there were people in that day who were questioning or saying there was no resurrection. I praise God that I know this life is not all there is. And because Jesus rose, I'm going to rise too. Isn't that wonderful? My question to you is this. What about you? See, death is not so scary when you understand. When you understand where it come from, you understand why it's where it is today. But the good news is Jesus will be victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And He's already victorious. And because He rose from the grave, He was our first fruits, we're going to rise also. You see, when you understand that, it's a little bit easier for you to face death. It's a little bit easier when you know that, and you go to that funeral of that saint of God that you know, man, he had faith or she had faith, and you know where she is, and you know that one day you're going to join them. You hate to give them up in this life, but praise God, you know you're going to see them again. That's the good news. Where are you going? That's the question. Where are you going? You got to answer that question. You got to take care of this now. Because I will tell you this. Once you close your eyes in death, it's too late. Heaven is real. Hell is real. Where you spend eternity will be based upon the decision that you make about what you're going to do with Jesus. The choice is yours. Our Father in heaven, we thank You for the day. We thank You, Lord, for Your wonderful Word. We thank You, Lord, that we know, Lord, we're not losing. You've already won the victory. We look forward to that day when we'll be with You. And now, Father, I pray. I pray for those in this service who do not know You, who have never taken care of the sin problem. I pray that today's the day. I pray for those, Lord, who have taken care of the sin problem. I pray that You will light our fire, Lord, to help us know that time is short. Help us take advantage of every opportunity. Father, I pray Your will be done in this invitation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Would you stand, Brother Dale?